Title: Testing Mixes in Mono as a Routine Intermediate. All right, let's talk about one of the most unsexy, most powerful habits you can build in drum and bass. Testing your mix in mono as a routine, not as a final oh no. I should probably check mono panic move as a normal part of how you build your drop, how you layer drums, how you design bass, how you choose reverbs, everything. Because in D&B, we're relying on sub weight, snare presence, and super fast transients. Stereo can flatter you. Mono tells the truth. Mono is basically your translation meter. If it holds together in mono, it's way more likely to hold together in a club, on a phone speaker, in a car, or on a cheap Bluetooth box. So the goal today is simple. By the end, you'll have a mono check setup in Ableton you can hit in one click, and a repeatable routine you can run in under a minute while you're working. First, what we're building. You're going to set up a one-click mono switch, then level match it so you don't get tricked by volume changes, and then you'll use a D&B-specific checklist in mono so you know exactly what to listen for. Kick and sub relationship, snare dominance, break layers staying punchy, and whether wide Reese layers are secretly disappearing. Let's set it up. Step 1. Create a dedicated mono check control. The fastest, most reliable option for most intermediate producers is just putting a utility on your master. Go to your master track, add audio effects, utility. Then set width to 0%. That's it. That's your mono sum. And this is important. This isn't just making both speakers play the left channel. This is collapsing the stereo image into a mono sum, which is exactly what reveals the phase and width problems. Now map it so you actually use it. Click the width knob, hit Command M or Control M to enter MIDI mapping, and move a button or knob on your controller. If you don't have a controller, you can still do this with a MIDI tool or just click it manually, but the whole point is speed. You want this to be frictionless. Exit MIDI mapping. Congrats! You now have a mono switch you'll actually hit. Quick note, there are cleaner monitor-only setups where you keep the master untouched, routing through a separate monitoring path. That's valid, and we'll mention an advanced variation later. But day-to-day, utility on the master is the best balance of speed and clarity, and you can always remove or disable it before export if you're worried. Step 2. Level match your mono check, so your brain doesn't lie to you. When you hit mono, it can feel louder in the center, or it can feel smaller because the width collapses. Either way, if the loudness changes, you'll judge it differently and you'll start making bad decisions. So right after that first utility, add a second utility. Rename it Mono Trim if you like. Now when you switch to mono, adjust gain a tiny bit, typically down about half a dB to 2 dB, just enough so stereo and mono feel roughly the same loudness. Don't overthink the exact number. The goal is fairness. You want to judge balance and stability, not volume. Now step 3. Make mono checking part of your build loop. Here's the habit. Every time you do any of these, you do a 10 to 20 second mono pass. Anytime you add a new bass layer, anytime you widen a synth or atmosphere, anytime you add reverb or delay to drums, anytime you hit a new drop section, like okay, first 4 bars are done. Let's check. 10 to 20 seconds. That's it. Just enough time to spot something vanished, something got hollow, or the groove changed. And that phrase matters. If the groove changes in mono, not just the tone, something is fighting in phase or masking. Mono is not a vibe check. It's a hierarchy and stability check. Here's a super practical listening scan I want you to internalize. In mono, you should be able to confidently point to 4 things. 1. The snare crack, usually living around 2 to 5 kHz. 2. The kick knock, often around 80 to 160 Hz, depending on your kick. 3. The sub-fundamental, commonly around 40 to 60 Hz in D&B. 4. The bass note identity, usually around 150 to 600 Hz, where the note reads on small speakers. If any of those become vague, don't compensate by making things wider. Fix the information, level, EQ, phase, or arrangement density. Step 4. Mono check your drum bus like a weapon. D&B drums are layered constantly. Stereo breaks, wide hat loops, snare layers with chorus, transient layers, room layers mono will expose the weak links instantly. A solid drum bus chain could be drum bus, then glue compressor, then utility. On drum bus, keep the drive subtle. 2 to 6 is plenty. Boom is usually dangerous in D&B unless you really want extra thump, so keep it off or super low. On glue compressor, think small, attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Then on utility, Turn on bass mono and set it around 120 to 180 Hz. This is a nice keep the low end centered move so your drum low end doesn't do weird stereo stuff, while hats and tops can still be wide. Now do your mono test target for drums. In mono, the snare should not hollow out. The kick shouldn't lose its knock. Breaks, like Amen style layers, shouldn't lose their front edge. If something collapses, your suspects are stereo samples, facey layers, or too much stereo processing before the bus. So you'd go hunting by bypassing widening, chorus, weird stereo enhancers, or swapping which layer is the anchor. And that brings up a key coaching concept. Keep a mono safe anchor for each key element. For the snare, pick one centered layer that carries the body and crack. That layer should survive with basically no stereo tricks. Any extra width should come from a high pass noise or air layer, not from the body of the snare. Step 5. Mono check your bass properly, meaning sub plus mid layers. Classic rolling DNB bass is usually a clean mono sub plus a mid bass layer that does the character, reese, FM growl, distortion, movement, stereo interest. Best practice, keep the sub strictly mono. Always, the mid bass can move in stereo, but it must still exist in mono. In Ableton terms, group your bass tracks into a bass bus. On the SUB track, add utility with width at 0%. Optionally, you can low pass or high cut it depending on how you split your bass, but the key is centered, stable, no stereo modulation. On the MID track, high pass it somewhere around 90 to 150 Hz to stay out of sub territory. Then add your movement effects, chorus, ensemble, frequency shifting, phaser, whatever fits your style. Now the mono test target for bass. In mono, you should still hear note definition and a consistent level. If your bass disappears when you hit mono, it's usually because the mid layer is too wide or too facey, or it's relying on stereo difference to feel loud. Here's a really useful sound design trick. Build mono safe width from difference, not to tune chaos. If your reese is two similar layers with slightly offset phase left and right, it might sound huge in stereo and then collapse into comb filtering in mono. Instead, keep a core oscillator more centered and create width with a decorative layer. Noise, air, filter distortion. Then low cut that width layer so it's not messing with the fundamental note. Also, if you want bass to translate on small speakers, add controlled harmonics. A great method is saturate before stereo modulation. Put saturator, or roar if you have it, before chorus or phaser. Generate stable harmonics first, then add subtle movement after. That way the ID of the bass note remains even when stereo movement collapses. There is also a sub-translation hack that works insanely well for phones. Duplicate your sub, saturate it, then high-pass that duplicate around 120 to 180 Hz. Keep it mono, and tuck it in very quiet. You're not replacing the sub, you're explaining the note on tiny speakers. Step 6. Fix the problems you find in mono with quick actions. Let's run through the big ones. If the snare gets thin or hollow in mono, test polarity or phase interactions. In Ableton Utility, you can invert phase on left or right to test. Also, reduce widening on snare layers. And remember, pick an anchor layer for body and only widen top noise. If a reese loses energy in mono, you're hearing comb filtering. Fix it by reducing width. Maybe you went to 140% width, and it sounded pro in stereo, but it's actually unstable. Bring it down to 110%, or even 100%. If you used chorus ensemble, back off rate, amount, or wet mix, and be careful stacking multiple detuned layers with random phase. If hats get quieter or weird in mono, check if they're super wide or polarity flipped in some way. Pull the width back to 80 to 100%. And a nice strategy is, keep hats mostly centered, then send to a short stereo early reflections or room return, and high pass that return aggressively, often above 4 to 8 kHz. The hat stays consistent in mono, but you still perceive width. If reverb vanishes or turns into mush, put reverb on a return, keep the dry source more mono safe, shorten decay on drums, and high pass the reverb return somewhere around 200 to 500 Hz depending on the element. In DNB, low reverb is a fast way to kill punch, especially in mono. Now step 7. Use mono for arrangement checkpoints, not just mixing. This is a big one. Mono checking is arrangement validation. Do a mono pass 8 bars before the drop. Are your risers and atmos swallowing the snare? Do a mono pass on the first 4 bars of the drop. Does the groove still bounce? Do a mono pass 16 bars in. Are you piling up layers and masking the core? Here's a practical trick that's kind of brutal but effective. In mono, Mute your drums for one bar during the drop and listen to bass plus FX. If it still feels full, you might be overfilling the mid-range. Drums need space to punch. If everything else is occupying the same 500 Hz to 2K Hz zone constantly, your snare will never feel like it owns the drop, especially in mono. Another advanced option, if you want to diagnose with fast, is mid-only and side-only checks. Put a EQ8 on the master while monitoring, switch it to M/S mode, and audition mid-only, then side-only. Mid-only tells you if the core mix stands on its own. Side-only tells you what's purely width. If important rhythm information lives mostly in the sides, mono will punish you. Every time. Optional but useful. A correlation meter. Ableton doesn't ship with a native correlation meter, but plenty of free plugins exist. If your bass or mid-bass spends lots of time in negative correlation, it's probably exciting in stereo and fragile in mono. Two more coaching moves before we wrap. First, mono check at two monitoring levels. Do one quiet mono check. Quiet reveals balance and masking, especially snare versus bass harmonics. Then do one moderate mono check. Moderate reveals transient punch and whether the low end pushes without getting blurry. If mono only works when it's loud, your mid-range is underbuilt, and you're relying on volume to feel impact. Second, when mono sounds smaller, don't compensate with loudness. Instead, restore contrast. Reduce overlapping reverbs. Simplify stereo modulation. Tighten envelopes. Shorter bass releases. Cleaner drum tails. Mono basically rewards clean decisions. Now let's do a mini practice exercise to lock this in. Load a current rolling DNB project or a simple 32-bar loop with kick, snare, hats, a break layer, sub, and reese. Put utility on the master, width to zero, and map it. Play the drop. Then switch to mono and run this checklist. Is the snare still clearly on top? Does the sub remain steady and not move? Does your reese lose like 30 to 50% of its energy? Do the hats vanish or get harsh? Pick one issue and fix it with one specific move. Reduce width on the problem track. Make low-end mono using utility bass mono or width. Or adjust EQ8 to restore the snare and bass balance. This audio version is shortened for playback.